Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, coming up on CarCast, we're going to talk about Corvette Z06 pricing. We're going to talk a little bit about Goldberg's Garage. Stuff is starting to show up. We're going to check in real quick with our friends over at Forklifts of St. Louis. It's more interesting than you think it's going to be. It's super fun. Before we get started, a word from our friends at Rock Auto.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write CarCast in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. Oh, man.
Busy day.
You were up early on the ranch and not for animals and stuff this time.
Thank God somebody has listened to my bitching and moaning, and they've answered my prayers. And I finally have an 18,000 pounds of roofing material on site for Goldberg's Garage.
It's fantastic. Semi-trucks rolling in at 7 a.m., bringing just tons and tons of gear, for that garage.
At 8 a.m., I had to go out and purchase my hard hat and yellow vest. So this should be quite entertaining over the next couple months.
Listen, not to ruin it for those guys building the garage, but for what this thing's going to cost, maybe the hard hat and yellow vest could have been comped.
You would think so, but that's good. It's all good. I'm not going to bitch and moan, because all that does is take time away from them working.
All right. So what's your feeling on your micromanaging as this thing's going to come up? You're going to just sit there in a rocking chair on your porch and watch the whole time, or are you going to get out there and get your hands dirty and see what they say?
Oh, I'm getting out there and getting my hands dirty. Are you kidding me? That, and I'll probably have four GoPros going at once, so I will not miss it.
I'm fascinated to see the process. Like, I want to see this thing documented. So, it'll be an interesting couple of months for sure. You know,
it's gonna be good though, man.
It's gonna be good.
Looked at the calendar. You know, contrary to popular belief, out here in Texas, we're supposed to have a completely dry December. So, I mean, if that was the case, I mean, let's just be honest. That's a prayer answer. So,
yeah. Well, you don't have your beanie on this morning, so it's not too cold out there. What's the weather like?
No, man, it's supposed to be 80 today.
That's what I thought. I could never figure out Texas.
It's supposed to be 80 today and 39 tonight. Welcome to Texas.
Well, speaking of weather, I am heading out. Chris and I are going to catch a plane tomorrow morning. We're going to go to Indianapolis. We're going to the PRI show. I know I plugged it a few times, so just bear with me for a second. But Friday, if you're going to PRI, Friday morning on the main stage, 10 a.m., we're going to be doing CarCast. We do have some information on some of our guests. We're going to talk to our friend Chris Kirstein, president of SEMA. We're going to talk to Peyton Sellers, who is part of the weekly NASCAR series. I think he's the champion over there. And And then we're going to talk to our friend Antron Brown, NHRA three-time champion. Antron Brown, I think he's finally putting his own team together, separate from the I think it was Schumacher camp. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but he's got some exciting announcements for that. Always exciting to talk to Antron. He's so great and energetic. So if you're there at PRI, please come out, see the show, 10 a.m., and then we are going to be there pretty much throughout the day running around on Friday. But yeah,
give Caps a big hug for us, man.
I think Caps is going to be there, but he's not scheduled for the show. But we're going to have Caps come in, I think, early next year as we're kicking off the NHRA season. Caps is going to come in. And actually, I want to talk to Alexis DeJoria because she's back racing. And she's been on the show a few times with Adam and I. And I want to kind of recap with her as well, see what's going on. So, yeah, excited about that. But, yeah, but your point. So I was, you know, I was out with Tammy. We were walking around and I was, she's like, oh, you got to go to Indy. Are you sure? And I was like, Siri, what's the weather in Indy? And Siri's like, it's 60 degrees. I was like, that sounds great. Then I was like, what's the weather on Indy on Friday? They're like, 48 and raining. And I was like, oh, man. Yeah.
It's like, so well, the lawman is not stuck, but the lawman is still in Wisconsin.
Okay.
There's some snow on the ground. And
there's some snow on the ground.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's that time of year, man. It's that time of year, no doubt.
You're right. Weather's going to be happening. Listen, I'm going to Arizona over the holidays. I was just talking to another friend of mine, sweet guy, by the way, Cody Walker, Paul Walker's brother. Cody's been doing this Fuel Fest events, and he did it in Arizona, drag racing out there, drifting, massive car show, big stage. This thing is really growing, and it's brought in – I think he's done like four events now, and it's brought in $100,000 to Paul's charity that it supports as well. So that's going to continue to grow. They're trying to do more events. You know, he got some of his, you know, his friends, his family out there. Tyrese Gibson was out there. Vin Diesel showed up. He came out and, you know, emceed up on the stage and hung out a bit. Craig Jackson was out there. I think Carolyn and Craig were out there. So it was a massive event. I think he's going to be in town this weekend in L.A. for this toy drive that's going on. I don't know I'm going to get to the toy drive because we're flying back Saturday and it's on Saturday. But I'm going to try to just connect with Cody on Sunday while he's in town. But hearing about his exciting things as well kind of brought up, you know, these big events, things like Lufka Cult and Fuel Fest, and how some of these big gatherings are turning into just massive events of racing and drifting and autocross
and stuff. That's a really nice lead-in, man. Keep your eye out for Streetcar Takeover, guys. That's all I can say. Just
Streetcar Takeover, guys. I know you've got a lot in the works and wanting to put forth an effort to get behind these big get-togethers, these car shows, cars events, bigger than you know, just bigger than a Cars and Coffee, like a more of a destination event that people can travel and go to. But also we keep talking about ways that we can go out and bring some cars and say hi to everybody and maybe do some live podcasts and things like that. So I'm excited about seeing more of these events start to happen.
Kills like 50 birds with one stone.
Yeah, yeah. Plus,
Number two, I mean, it's what the culture is all about. And if you think about the end of combustible engines, I mean, no wonder everybody's going out and trying to, you know, end with a bang, right? I mean, yeah. I don't know if that's on the that's not first on the agenda, but you have to think that in the back of people's minds, it's like, okay, we got to get these events done as soon as we can, as many as possible before it's too late. Right?
And think about how they're going to evolve. What's going to be the future of these events? And you know, but it's as much as it is about the cars, it's about the get-togethers and the people we get to go see and say hi to and hang out with and chat, you know, chat cars. It's like you and I have done this a million times, like regardless of where we are walking into a building or an event or a party or anything, and it's just a room of people you don't know. I can just talk cars with anybody in that room. It's just like the great mediator, it seems like, for me.
No question.
It is. To be able to do that in a live environment and bring some of our cars and see other people's cars as well. I'm fascinated with that.
Now, have you heard of that Iola car show?
I have not, no.
Yeah. I got contacted by them the other day. Sounds like a great event. It's a 3-day event. Kind of a deal like Green Bay, Wisconsin, right? There's only like 2,500 people in town. And then when this event goes on, you know, it multiplies towards the hundreds of thousands. So I'm interested to get a little info on the show. And hopefully that's one of the places where we'll be hanging this summer, you know?
Yeah. You know, I did Syracuse Nationals in New York. We did our Shift and Steer podcast up there for a couple of years, and that's a great event. And you're right. Like me going to Syracuse and I'm, you know, we're driving to the event. I'm like, it's at times it feels like it's a little bit of a ghost town. It's definitely not LA. It's definitely spread out, man, they have a huge venue out there. They were doing some autocross and it's tougher for me to get out to some of the East Coast events, but like the big Mustang event at Myrtle Beach is a great one that I'd love to get out to. I haven't done. Out here we have Fabulous Fords Forever, which I don't think they run any of the cars. It used to be at Knott's Berry Farm. It was just a massive car show. This past year I did get out there and it was at Irwindale Speedway. So they did have a bunch of cars on the track, but I don't think they were running cars, but I think that's going to evolve into you know, something with like autocross or drifting and maybe run that drag strip if they do it at Irwindale.
it's funny too, because I look at the notes on this Iola car show. It's their 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I got contacted by Discover yesterday about contributing a little bit to Barrett Jackson's 50th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that.
That's right. Yeah.
that shows you how old I am.
Barrett Jackson's been gearing up with their promotion on the road to the 50th anniversary. So Scottsdale is going to be a big event and, you know, looking forward to that. Yeah. So, you know, a lot going on for sure. Of course, some car news and stuff as well. Oh, man, we might have just... So you got the super garage that you're building over there. And over here, we've got the small warehouse, which I love. We've got the Matt Cave. And it really is a home for our beverage company, for Bravago, our hard seltzer company. And despite all of the crazy sort of supply chain issues, it's been a really good year. A lot of good feedback on that drink. Excited to have that launch on the website in January. But what we're figuring out now is we are definitely going to need space as a warehouse to hold our product, because the supply chain issue is like, in a perfect world, you'd be like, hey, I'm going to make it someplace. You make it at a facility, and then ideally it goes from there and it goes directly out to distributors, right? And there's no staging warehouse. But it turns out we're going to need a staging warehouse. So I just had a 1-year lease on my warehouse to figure out how the company was going to go, how it was going to respond, and you know, the few events that we've done, and it's been just an overwhelmingly fantastic year for that. Even though the product isn't out there, everything behind the scenes, doing trade shows, tasting events, distributors, you know, everything in that regard has been really, really good. So I just so happened that like 4 doors down from me in my warehouse complex, another beverage company just moved out. And
right.
They were just moving their shit out the door. The place wasn't even listed yet. And I walked in. I was like, you guys moving? They're like, yeah. And I emailed the property manager. I was like, what's going on with this unit over here? I was like, maybe we should talk, because I think I want to get in there. It's a little bit larger than what we need, but it may end up being a really cool like video studio and photo studio for cars as well that we may make available to some of our friends. So, yeah, we might be going from 2,200 square feet to about 6,100 square feet.
Nice.
And there's kind of this little second level. It's like 2 feet in the air, and it's got a cement ramp that you can drive up. And it's got this cool like corner space, and we're just going to do the whole thing white, just the walls, the floor, everything white. So you can roll cars in, get a blank canvas, you know, obviously just kind of wipe away the tire tread marks and be able to shoot stuff and video stuff if you need to, Nice. So kind of a thought there. So then we're moving our first 20,000 cans of Bravago over into our warehouse in January. That's be coming in. It's being made any day now. So that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be a big year, man.
It's going to be a big year. So anyway, lots of stuff going on.
You and Barrett for the 50th anniversary.
You know, we're trying, and I'll be frank with you that Barrett is a big event, on a big piece of land, a big property there. And what we did find was all of these big venues, everything from Staples Center to the Coliseum to a Barrett Jackson, a little bit out of their control. The venue itself handles food and beverage. They're the concessionaire. So, you know, for example, WWE, when WWE goes to Staples Center for, you know, a SmackDown event, WWE has no say whatsoever over the food and drink. It doesn't matter who their sponsors are, what commercials they run. It's the building. And when you get in,
contracts they have, yeah.
That's it. And when you get into a big building like that, you're right. There's long-term contracts. There's exclusivity deals. There's pay-to-play things going on. So, you know, as much as we'd love to be at Barrett Jackson Scottsdale, that's their flagship event. It's more likely we can be at some of the other events that they do throughout the country. And you know, our friends over at Barrett Jackson, Craig Jackson especially, really goes to bat for us. He loves what we're doing with the brand, and is keeping an eye on it for us and has been helpful getting us to Barrett Jackson Vegas. I just think Scottsdale might be a little bit – if it's there, honestly, it's going to show up at a couple like VIP rooms that aren't really open to the public. So it's fine, but I just want – I want people listening to this show. I want fans of this show, and I want people that know us to be able to get it first and to be able to try it. And as you said, like going to these big car shows, these one-off things like Fabulous Fords Forever, maybe Fuel Fest, which we're working on, those would be really cool events to be able to get the product out there. So working on that kind of stuff, it'll be
just get me a very vibrant Bravago costume and I'll moonwalk across the stage.
Moonwalk across the stage. We'll get you dressed up. Now that I know the shit that they're making you do on the Goldberg sitcom, I'm not shy about going, hey, dress like a chicken.
or exactly.
Put this on.
What do we need? What is it for?
That's
I'm at that stage in my career where all dress is just about anything.
It seems how that seems to be going as a little more latitude. You think as you get older and things, you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But Adam too, right? As things go on, we're like, hey, okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. I've never done that before. I'll try that.
But see, most of the 90% of the general public thinks that you reach a stage in your career and you go, oh man, my options are gone. I got to do something goofy. That's not the case.
No, you don't have
to. It's not it.
Well,
no,
William Shatner just went to space, so.
Yeah, I just kind of want to do something.
Yeah.
Going on the edge. It's not that I need to. It's I really kind of want to. It's just to, I don't know, just to see the reaction.
And it's fun, right? It's like fun to do silly stuff. It's fun.
A lot of the Goldbergs. Yeah, no
problem. Okay, so I want to touch on this. So apparently, someone from Chevrolet, one of the product marketing managers over there was on a podcast recently, and they were asking him about the Z06, the new Z06. It looks fantastic. It's fast. It sounds great. And they're saying, well, what's the pricing going to come in at? And we heard rumors of $100,000. And then he kind of danced around it, but it was basically saying the Stingray to Z06 base price of the Stingray versus the Z06 base price, the gap in between there would be about on par with what the previous gen Corvette was. So the previous gen Corvette started at a little bit lower, right? So the Stingray now, the C8's a little bit higher. So what does that mean?
It'll be 120. That's what it means.
No, surprisingly, he's saying that gap was smaller than what we thought before, something like 20%. So if you apply that now, the Z06 could come in base price, mind you, under $90,000. It could be $89,995, somewhere around there. It could basically be $90,000.
Compared to the previous model, which was?
The previous model was $78,000. So.
Respectable.
I mean, yeah, maybe we're talking 10-12 grand over what it was before, knowing what you're getting.
And it's certainly worth it.
There's probably going to be a handful of options, and a lot of people will want that track pack with the really aggressive stuff, and that'll probably add 18 to 20 grand on top of it. But, I mean, you're probably into a really nice Z06 for under 100 grand if you want, and probably under 120 if you want it outfitted with pretty much everything. Like, and you're talking sub 3 seconds, 0 to 60 times, that sound, that flat plane.
It's a lot of car for the amount of money that lesser cars are being sold for now, to put it.
Listen, absolutely. Now, let's not talk about the bullshit $30,000 markup dealers are probably going to be asking for, but that aside, if GM and Chevrolet can get this thing base price of anywhere around $90,000, I say kudos, you guys. Holy shit. Great job. I think that would be a fantastic number for sure.
For all you small people who can fit in that car.
That's right. Well, I think I could fit in it. Let me tell you guys about Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers, they study your specific driving conditions to make sure you're ready for anything, even if it rains actual cats and dogs. I got a little tiny crack in the windshield of my Mach 1 already. It could be for something like this. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. And no matter what your driving habits, you always find the right wiper blades for your vehicle. It's Trico. It's the future of wiper blades since 1917. So find a store near you. See the latest offers. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. All right, guys. So up next, we're going to bring in our friends Eric Whittingham. We took a trip to St. Louis, and I talked about do we get a forklift? Do we get some sort of pallet jack? What do we do? And then I went out there, visited these guys, and it was fantastic. And then came back and talked to Bill. And now you've got 20,000 pounds.
I need a forklift.
Bill needs a forklift. I want to get into that, so we're going to talk to these guys in 1 second. But, Bill, your phone's blowing up in the middle of the show.
Secured Kansas Motor Speedway for the official kickoff party in the middle of April, and the event will have to be named later. But
okay, so what we were talking about.
I'll be there in the twin turbo, hauling ass down the drag strip.
Awesome. All right. So April is going to be a big event. You're going to have the twin turbo car out there. You better learn to drive that thing. that thing's a beast. Okay, well, something to look forward to in April. We'll be sure to get more details on that. We've got some time, but Eric, thanks, guys. Yes, thanks, sir. thanks for being on the show with us. We appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do over there, and it's going to get a little nerdy because not everybody's in the market for a forklift, but I learned a lot in the process of like what to get and how to get new and used and different types of everything. So give us a quick little overview of what you guys do. What's the business?
Sure. No, and thanks for having us on the show. It's a real honor. Our name says it kind of all. We're Forklifts of St. Louis. We're a forklift dealership. We work basically kind of mirror what a car dealership does. We have new and used equipment. We do leasing. We do rentals. We have our whole parts and service department. And we really function like that. And we handle everything from the small little air pallet jacks that you see all over the place to 100,000 pound forklifts, you know, so, and everything in between, kind of what you've got yourself, Matt, for your operation out there. We fit every need. We touch all industries. So it's a very unique industry. You know, the gentleman you met right here, Gary Hansen next, has been in it for a few years, almost 50 years, and seen a lot of changes go. And we're seeing nowadays we're seeing more of automation come into play, driverless forklifts and all that kind of stuff too. So it is nerdy. We're probably the furthest thing away from nerds, and when you get into our industry, the guys and women have built this thing up. You know, one of our counterparts down in Atlanta said it best: we're basically C students putting things together for people. Really, at the end of the day, so we come from all walks of life. A lot of us are come heavy from athletic backfields, kind of like Mr. Goldberg right there and stuff. So it's you know, like my father, big time football player, and like myself did a little bit of that, and my brother. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everything is application driven for what you want to do with a forklift. You know, if you're simply working in the warehouse, in the tires and that type of truck, from working out in the lumber yards to working hard. And a lot of people have seen, you know, the backup with container handling and all that, the big 100,000 pounders that handle those things and go, you know, 5-6 high, or and are helping moving that stuff along. So it's, like I said, like we talked earlier, we touch every industry out there. So it's very interesting.
So, Goldberg is just getting delivery of a bunch of his the materials for his super garage. It's this amazing 20,000 or so square foot facility that we've been talking about for a while, and a lot of it is kind of prefab. So all the steel is coming. The roof just arrived. Bill can tell us about it, but before you say anything, Bill,
I think you need a new spokesperson.
Eric, roughly what does it cost to rent a forklift for the day? I'm just curious before Bill says anything. What does it cost to rent a forklift for the day?
For the day, it's probably, you know, your hard and line stuff, $350, $400.
All right, Bill, the floor is yours.
For sure.
The floor is yours.
I got a monstrous building going up. I live on 200 acres. I need as much heavy machinery as humanly possible to help me move things around. So we need to talk. Absolutely. Good God.
Sure. Yeah, we can definitely help you out there. We can get you some big old nasty stuff out there, and or even some of the nice little petite things and everything in between, man.
We need to talk for sure. Well. Absolutely.
Listen, after what I think Bill just spent today renting a forklift, I think he's going to go outside and make a fuss, a pretty big fuss right after this podcast. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. I had to ask.
That the erectors are about to get. Yeah,
I had to ask.
That stuff, I can only imagine for the day for that type of equipment. So.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. You live and learn, and now I'm learning. And so, like I said, we'll talk. And your industry. So, has your industry been affected by COVID, or is it some positively or negatively affected by what's going on?
Mostly positively, to believe it or not. Early on, everybody figuring out how you were deemed, essential or not, and we were early on deemed essential to the supply chain. And even though the supply chain has been greatly effective, and it has affected us with getting equipment, it's hard getting your hands on equipment right now. However, if you have it, you got basically gold at that time.
Yeah.
And since people can't get equipment, people are hanging on to their equipment longer, which helps us tremendously in the parts and service end of our business, which is probably our highest margins, to be honest with you. So we saw a lot of growth really over these last couple of years. Which surprises a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, my father had his two biggest years these past 2 years.
Wow, so, wonderful.
Yeah. So negative. The only negative is just the getting the equipment itself. I mean, we're seeing lead times across the board is probably a year to 2 years to get a new piece of equipment.
Wow. Compared to what was it prior?
90 days.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. So what is it that I bought? Tell everybody what is it that
What did I buy?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, too, one of the big things in the industry now, probably not for an outdoor application with pneumatic tires, maybe your new building, but what you actually bought for the warehouse is a small electric walk behind. The industry is really moving heavily toward electric now. Everything we hear is more and more electric. So you got a small straddle truck. We happen to have that in the queue. So that truck will either be shipping out just before the holidays or just after.
Okay.
Mark Warman had this thing on his show, and I can't remember the name of it. He sent me the information on it, but it's a car mover. You stand up on it, and it's hydraulic, and it lifts the car up, and it puts the car in your garage where you want it. Are you guys familiar with that type of machine?
Tugger, basically.
Yeah, we've along with our, you know, our Art of Line stuff is forklifts, but we also sell different types of equipment out of some catalogs and stuff like that, some niche type of things like that. But yeah, I've seen a model somewhat of what you're talking about there. So yeah, we get into those a bit.
Awesome.
So when I went out and visited these guys, we were talking about stuff that we're doing for Bravago. We're moving, you know, pallets of product around, pallets of cans around. And I was like, look, I need a pallet jack, but a lot of our deliveries won't show up on the back of a truck with a lift gate. Or if you do, you have to pay a lot more for that lift gate service. So I was like, is there a pallet jack that lifts like a forklift, but isn't as big as a forklift? I don't have to sit on it and ride it. I don't have to fire it up. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. We've got this like walkie kind of push along a pallet jack, but it has two fixed arms that come out, which with wheels on it, and then it has the two lift arms. So now it can raise, I don't know what the maximum height is. It's like 8 feet or something like that. And it allows us to stack pallets and pull them off, right? I don't know if it picks up a car because I think it has a limitation of about 22, maybe 2,500 pounds. But there's got to be versions of even things like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And in fact, too, you got – what you can also do with on a lift is put an attachment on the front of it and you go from it and attack it from that angle as well. Mm-hmm. They'll customize stuff. We work with an attachment company and there's a couple out there, but there's one, namely Cascade Corporation is the leader in that. And they already have their set of attachments already, a catalog of that. And if there's something a forklift can do that you're talking about, Bill, is they'll come out there. We can spec it out and take a look at just putting an attachment on a lift, which sometimes gets to be a safer, obviously, but then also at the end of the day, cheaper in a realm too, because then you got your forklift and that nice thing about that too is you can set up a lift to where you can slap an attachment on. When you're done using that, you take it off, you put it off in the corner, you're back to throwing forks back on there, your normal business at that point.
You're a terrific salesman.
Where's my dad? I should have my dad in here on that one. You say that.
Hook, line, and sinker.
You know, because Bill, what we were talking is when I went out and visited these guys, I learned a bit about even just like the wheels that are on these things, on the forklifts, the solid tires, the pneumatic tires, on the pallet jacks, the you know, are you going over a rough surface like asphalt in a parking lot, or are you on a smooth surface in a warehouse the whole time? You can get a quieter wheel, if you will, or something. So in thinking about what you're talking about now is building your garage. So you have guys out there with the forklifts that I don't know if they're on just the cement or in the dirt or using something kind of multi-terrain, but you're talking about later when the garage is done for your own stuff, right? Like how do you move?
100%.
You know, you're building like a 2,200 square foot gym up in the air, up on a loft or mezzanine or 2,900 square foot gym. And unless you plan on carrying all of those weights up there one at a time.
No, we've got monster cranes that are going to be doing that along with my air conditioners, putting them on the roof. So
what we're talking about is, I don't know, I mean, you could talk to these guys even off the air about what the needs are during the construction process. But I think what we're really talking about is what something afterward. You may need afterward, right?
100%. These guys, let the contractors do their thing. They've got everything lined up. As far as afterwards, I have nothing lined up. So as far as making my life and guys like me much easier after everything is on site, getting, you know, pallets in, getting vehicles moved, that's when these guys are going to definitely come into play.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting thing. It's like I said, in talking with these guys and talking with them at their facility and taking a little bit of a tour, which is massive, by the way. It was so interesting to see all of the different options and the things to be looking for and serviceability and leasing and buying and just new and used and kind of working through that process. And it turns out like you do need to be able to talk to somebody who can that's educated on it, right? That can act as sort of an advocate for what you need and then be able to find what you need. Because
surely don't have your contractor do it because they'll add 20% on
that. They'll add 20% or more. Right. 20% or more. But, you know, we've got around the shop here, we've got a couple of forklifts, you know, some used things that the guys have purchased over time. But now that I start to think about it, I was like, yeah, they got something that they thought was a good deal, but is this the right thing that they needed? And it might explain why we have more than one, right? We've got pallet jacks and two forklifts. And we're like, hey, can we move this or can we move this? And they're like, well, we need that machine for this and this machine for that and that machine for that. I'm like,
that's where the attachments come in, like you said.
That's my point. It's like, why do we got three forklifts? We don't have that much space. I was trying to find the least amount of footprint, right? Because we didn't have a lot of warehouse space. It's valuable. When you're paying what we're paying out here, you don't own the place. You're paying what we're paying out here for square footage, you know, a price per square foot. I don't want the something the size of an F-150.
Just drive one of your extra forklifts over here. I'll
put it over there. All right. So, I appreciate it. So, Forklifts of St. Louis, although they have multiple locations around the Midwest, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you have anything in Texas? Just curious.
No, but we can help you out in that area, too. Hey, man, we're coast to coast, border to border.
Well, we love that. It's Forklifts of St. Louis, FLSTL.com. So, Forklifts of St. Louis, FLSTL.com. is the website. If you guys are interested in any of this stuff, go to the website, check out what they're doing, and don't hesitate to give them a call and chat and get a little bit educated on what it is out there. You might be surprised, even something in your garage that you realize you need to lift or move. Why bust your ass doing it when there's a machine out there or even
if
something
you don't have these?
Oh, there you go.
they're gone now. Yeah. You don't have muscles, then you got to have equipment. But yeah, even if you used to have muscles. But thanks a lot for being on the show, guys. It was an honor and a privilege to meet you, and we'll get some information traded. And I'd love to have you guys check out the facility and see what's up.
Excellent, man. No, I appreciate you guys having us as well. It's a big fan of you, Bill. So
thank you, sir.
Really appreciate it. So thanks for your guys' time.
Anytime. You guys have a great one.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. We'll see you.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Let me tell you guys about Geico. Whether you own your home or rent your home, it can be a lot of hard work, but you know it's easy. It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Anyway, I was actually really interested when I went out and saw the facility and saw all the different things. And obviously, the forklifts are kind of big and they're expensive, and it's definitely more for business, not for anything someone would have at home. But I was surprised by some of the stuff that they do have that makes things a lot easier, just shuffling stuff around the garage and things like that. So we were able to find something that I didn't even know existed in this. This goofy little machine, this walkie stacker. And like he said, though, it's electric. You plug it in, you charge it, but now it's quiet and it's clean. And when we load up a 2,000-pound a pallet of beverages, moving it around, especially on an angle, because we've got that little ramp in the warehouse we're moving into, we're going to use for storage as well. It has electric motors. It's powered. So you just you walk with like a handle, like a vacuum cleaner, basically. You got two handles and it move, and then it'll lower it, and it does cool shit.
First time like, you have 400 pounds on it or 2,000 pounds on it and you go up that ramp, please video it for me.
I know. I actually want to talk to these guys and go, hey, do I stand behind it and go up the ramp, or do I stand in front of it and drag?
Do it the way you think it should be done first. And I want it videoed from like one of those, surveillance cameras.
Yeah, so right.
When you fall off the side, that's when you.
Well, I'm definitely going to bring the truck up and down the ramp without anything on it first. I don't want the first time to be thousands of dollars for the product out there and falling over. But anyway, they got some cool stuff. A Bronco update. So a couple of Bronco updates. Ford has said that the hard tops that were defective, they were okay, but they were saying under intense rain or high pressure washing or something, they would leak a little. They went back to, I think the supplier is Wabasco, if I got that right. And problem solved, roofs are coming in, and Ford has said that that whole field or warehouse full of Broncos that they built with no hard tops on them, the backlog has been cleared. The hard tops have been installed. Those are getting shipped out. They actually told us, not to make it sound like it's good news because people have been waiting a year for their truck, but everyone's like, hard tops are going to deliver end of December, beginning of January, but now they're a little ahead of schedule, if you will. It's, I don't know how you get ahead of a schedule when you've been delayed a year, but whatever.
All I'm going to say is I guarantee you the ADD bumpers for Gage's Bronco will show up months, well, at least a month before his Bronco shows up. And I ordered it a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Well, I think Edmonds is on like 400 days, 450 days or something when we talked to Alistair when he ordered his Bronco. Anyway, that being said,
someone at Gage's school has one, just like the one we ordered.
And I'm starting to see them around now. They're starting to pop up. I mean, it's not a ton of them, but I'm really like, you know, twice a week. I'm not seeing it once a day, but I'm seeing it twice a week. They're on the roads out there. So they're going, they're getting out there for sure. So also what's interesting is Bronco Nation, if you guys don't follow it, Bronco Nation has a YouTube channel, and on the YouTube channel, not sure where the video came from, but they got a Bronco Raptor off-road in the dirt, kind of just driving around and doing some donuts. It's not like spy video, or it's almost looks like it's intentional, like B-roll, and it's still got some of the camouflage stuff. What I mean is it looks like an agency created as B-roll, and I go, well, why waste the money on the camouflage stickered version? Why not just do the nice version? But no soundtrack, no music, anything. So you just get to hear it and you get to see it. And then at the end, there's a couple of kind of, you know, like side-by-side photos, if you will, stills of this Bronco Raptor next to the other Bronco, the base Bronco. And then you really get to start to see what's going on with fender flares and tire size and things like that. And it seems interesting. It seems like it's going to be pretty cool. Don't tell Gage about it yet. Wait a couple of years.
Well, I mean, the fact is that we don't need the Raptor to make it fast or cooler. I mean, it's going to be the most customizable vehicle out there. So we can do aesthetically. Mario can do mechanically, and we'll have it done before that even hits the streets. But it's his first vehicle, and that ain't happening.
That's so, what I was thinking. You know. It's not quite there yet, but you're going to see what a good boy he's going to be when this vehicle shows up. So the Bronco with the 330 horsepower engine, it's got the 2.7 liter 330 horsepower engine in it. And we're wondering what could the Bronco Raptor have. Still going to be some sort of EcoBoost turbo engine. I mean, just doesn't make sense for it to be, you know, a V8. And certainly when you listen to this video, you're like, nah, it's not a V8. So, but that's fine. But if you look at the Ford lineup of EcoBoost engines, what could they put in there? So if it's 330 horsepower, I can't imagine it's going to have less than 350. I think it's going to be closer to that 400 range. And the Ford Explorer ST has a 3-liter 400 horsepower EcoBoost in it, which would be a great engine for the Bronco Raptor. You can step up to the 3.5 liter 450 horse that's in the Raptor, the F-150 Raptor, but I think they're trying to find a little bit of a gap. So, I mean, they could modify the 2.7 liter, but it just feels like this is going to get the 3-liter 400 horsepower version. And that's kind of in line with where it needs to be, right? Bronco Raptor, Bronco's 330 horse, Bronco Raptor 400, F-150 Raptor 450, and then future Raptor R in a year or so, whatever, 760. So I think that kind of makes you gets you a nice catalog of off-road products, which, you know, in the lineup. So I think that would be kind of interesting if they get to that.
When they grow up, they'll be a Dodge. What? Did I say that?
All right, hold on 1 second. Let's just take a quick break and throw to our friends at Rock Auto.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to RockAuto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write CarCast in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Okay, we're back. I don't know what kind of noises you're making over there.
I'm stretching.
Stretching. Got up early. You're up. Yeah. You're up early because it's the ranch. You got ranch stuff.
I'm up at 5:30 every morning, getting ready to take Gage to school because he works out before school at school. So yeah, we leave at 6:15 every morning.
All right, I like it.
I don't.
Well, don't call me. I mean, don't,
because that'll be 4:15 your time.
I know.
Maybe I will call.
I mean, I like that we're doing the podcast early in the morning, but this is basically lunchtime for you. A little bit of racing. If you guys have seen Nissan GTR races in Japan's Super GT series, they're in there with the Acura NSX and Toyota Supra. And although we're not quite done with the GTR yet, we are done with the racing car version of it. So Nissan has started developing the Nissan Z GT500. So it's the GT500 racing spec. It's going to compete with, like we said, NSX and Toyota Supras. If you get a chance to see some of the images of this thing in race trim, it's pretty over the top. It's pretty badass. Now, it's not going to have anywhere near the engine that we get, you know, in street trim, because I think the engine specs for these cars are really, I think it's a small engine. I want to say they're running 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinders, making about 650 horsepower with either like sequential transmissions or paddle shift 6-speeds. As far as the marquee going out there racing, Toyota Supra, Acura NSX, and now Nissan with the Z, it's a pretty cool looking car, and definitely is going to be influential to the aftermarket, right? Crazy body kits and wide bodies and wings and things like that. So you can go, yeah, we're getting a little taste of the Z GT500 spec car out there. So anyway, it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of race car and new and cutting edge, you seen the clips of the Porsche electric?
I did. Yeah, I saw that car.
What do you think about it?
So I saw it in person. I believe I saw that was the car we saw at the LA Auto Show. I went up for one of the press days, and I didn't get to spend too much time and had some people around it. Somebody was filming or something. I didn't want to step in front of them. It looks pretty cool. Now, I don't know the full specs on it, but I'm always curious to hear, because also we know that Porsche said that they're pretty far along on developing their e-fuel, their synthetic liquid fuel, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to start testing that in their racing cars, right? Mm-hmm. So they're getting it approved and going, hey, this is the equivalent of whatever 100, 110 octane, and it burns cleaner. Can we use it instead of whatever racing fuel VP or whatever is out there. And I think they got the go ahead to do that, which is kind of the point of these sports car racing series, is a lot of R&D.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they'll make it available to other other manufacturers racing against them, right? Yeah. But the idea of this e-fuel is interesting to me. So the electric racing down with, interesting. Jaguar had their Formula E car there as well. But I'm actually a little more interested in the e-fuel possibility, just to see if what they can come up with. Right now, e-fuel, even if we had it on the market, it would be wildly expensive. So it's nowhere near the cost of producing it and making it, and it takes a lot of power to make. So it's only really made sort of on, you know, sort of middle of the globe, very close to the sun, with massive amounts of solar power, because they don't want to say, hey, we're going to make e-fuel, which is clean, but we've got to, you know, destroy the planet to make it, right? By the way, electric, we're looking at you.
Thank you.
But they're trying to use solar power to create this e-fuel. That's how I understand it. I didn't deep dive into this stuff, so we'll have another conversation on it. Blow me up on Instagram and Twitter. We're going to you don't know shit about e-fuel. I know I don't know shit about e-fuel. I'm just telling you that the headlines that are coming in saying it could be positive. Apparently, it could be more efficient than E85, right? We lose a lot of efficiency with E85. I don't know what it is. It's something like 40%, right? So your 10-gallon tank is effectively 6 gallons at that point, or whatever it is, because of its inefficiency. And E85,
but it's
arguably
cheaper per the gallon. So
it is for you guys in Texas or in the Midwest. But there's like one gas station here in like Brentwood that has E85, and yeah, it's cheaper than what they're charging for regular gas. But regular gas is $5.50 a gallon. So,
jeez,
you know, like the 91 octane, which by the way isn't even that great. You know, we're starting to see like $5.50 a gallon out here for that stuff. So. So the E85 is a little less expensive if you can find it. But the idea of e-fuel being efficient, I don't know if it's more or less efficient than our 91, 93, but I think it's supposed to be close, and higher octane and clean burning. So now it's sort of like E85 meets, you know, VP racing fuel.
Wow.
So that's kind of the thought. And yeah, and it's a – you know, it's a man-made fuel. It's a synthetic fuel that we can make. So I'm all for EV. I mean, I like some of the cars that are coming out, and innovation is going rampant. But for all of our existing cars that are on the road that we love and we want to keep, and the infrastructure of gas stations all around, you know, all around the country, if not the planet, well, what if we can start to get e-fuel into those gas pumps? So the millions and millions of cars that we have and still love, not to mention any future hybrids and things like that, can all run this. And then, you know, it's cleaner, less reliant on oil, blah, 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 all of that stuff. So anyway, that's why it's super interesting to me. Listen, Gale Banks will do an hour with you and just talk about algae and how he can make fuel with algae. And I was like, okay, great. Look, I get it. It's super smart. I don't know how many people are doing it yet, but there's constant R&D happening at these oil companies. But anyway, the Porsche, not to kind of go on a tangent with it, but did you read up on it? Did you get some specs and some information?
Bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you know about it?
Not much. I just was concerned, not concerned, but I was more curious about aesthetically.
Yeah.
Because to me, when I first saw it, it didn't look anything like a Porsche.
No, it doesn't. No, it's more like a prototype, right? Like LMP or something.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's the class and everything, but it had no lineage whatsoever to me.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking at. I mean, you can't see it on your screen, but I'm looking at the car here that they had on display. And yeah, I mean, it's got a little bit of sports car flair to it as far as the two seats and whatnot. But you're right. It doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, conventional Porsche in it. It's leaning a little more toward that are Taycan, I think, than anything sort of 9/11 related. Or
I was excited to see it, you know, because of they're hooping and hollering about the performance of the GT3 right now that they just came out with, right?
Yeah.
So I thought this would be a continuation on and whatever, but futuristic throw at it. But to me, it looked the furthest thing from a Porsche.
Yeah. Awesome. It is cool looking. Anyway. I mean, to your point,
it doesn't look, you wouldn't see it
and say Porsche, but you'd look at it and go, this is a pretty cool looking race car. Anyway, so we're running out of time. We got things to do. You're going to head outside and talk about rental rates for forklifts. Have a nice little heart to heart with the crew out there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You had to do that to me. I was having such a good day.
Well, maybe you'll go outside and be like, hey, in the last hour, they got a lot done. You know, maybe that hourly rate.
Yeah, no question. Right?
Maybe that hourly rate came down.
Because they can do a lot with the roof. They can do a lot with the roofing material if the beams aren't here.
Yeah, right? They can just hold it up and have you walk under it just to get the feeling of what it's going to be one day.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can go in there. You can picnic under there for a few minutes.
I need like 80 forklifts to hold the roofing material suspended so that I can get an idea of what the garage is.
Yeah, that's a key to hold it up there. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Of course, carcastshow.com is the website. You can see me at Motorator on social media. Goldberg95, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram as well. Follow along. I know he's going to be getting some content, producing some content, getting the time-lapse camera out there. Let's do that, right? That's the plan. You got to get a couple of backups. Like you said, you need like 4 time-lapse cameras because one might get eaten by wildlife.
I'm not worried about, unless I have a giraffe or want to come home with a giraffe. Yeah, I don't have to worry
about
that.
Don't count that out.
Yeah.
Actually, she literally posted photos of a giraffe the other day.
Oh, goodbye. Yeah.
I think your neighbor has a giraffe.
That was my neighbor, yeah.
So there you go. There's literally a giraffe not far away.
That's fine. The neighbor can satiate her desire to have a giraffe so we can live vicariously through them.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Chris, let's go to PRI. Oh, you got to work today. So, and then we'll see you tomorrow morning at LAX. Bill, thanks so much. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.